When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Bernstein again. Big opening. Pass by. Pass 10. Erlon's a man. And he goes all the way to the 15-yard line. 17 yards.
Welcome back to Believe in Badgers on the Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag and Oak Bridge Wealth Management. I'm Matt Perkins, joined as always by Badger legend, the Hebrew Hammer himself, Matt Bernstein. Bernie, how are we doing today?
Man, we're good. A little nervous. We're gearing up to have baby two, but nothing like ending a perfect day before being a father of two with one of my favorite players, Chez. I'm going to pump you up a lot, man. You are one of my favorite players to watch. You're a running back. I'm a running back. So thank you for being here, man. I am just thrilled, a little nervous, a little chaotic in my world. But, man, it's great. It's great to have you here to chop it up for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me. And, you know, I appreciate that saying I'm your favorite player. That's awesome. But, again, congratulations on the kid. That's big time, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. We have a lot. Dude, everything about you is big time, but we're going to get into it.
Before we get into it, though, got to remind the good folks tuning in all around the world that we are presented by BetOnline.ag, your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. They've got the latest stats, news, scores to follow all your favorite teams right there at BetOnline. Get the latest odds and lines, including team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Oak Bridge Wealth Management. Our friend Chris Anicetti, you want to get your money right and you're a professional or a future professional athlete? Yeah, we're all friends with Chris here because he is the man when it comes to getting your money right. Chris Anicetti, Oak Bridge Wealth Management. All right, let's hop right into it. For those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, we had Chez join us for a little bit last year when we were at Squat Fest. We cut it up with him and Braylon a little bit. Bernie, your Jets now have Braylon. How are you feeling about that, Chez? How are you feeling about Braylon in the league going to the Jets?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. You know, I'm super excited for him. I think a lot of his skills are going to translate super well to the NFL. You know, like a lot of things he likes to do, like I think it's gonna work for him. So I'm super excited. I think ironically, the Jets is like a really good team for him. I think they kind of have a good situation at running back with Breece Hall, but I don't think they have a back that can do some of the things that he does really well. So I think it's a good situation for him.
I couldn't be happier. When you see a Badger go to the Jets, I'm a Jets fan. That's why I love the Badgers more, because they stink. But I agree that they're changing a lot of things there. And to get Badgers on the Jets makes me so happy. Brooks Bollinger was like one of my favorite of all time. Altoon. I can go into this for days. We don't want to be here forever talking about the Jets. That's not what this podcast is about. But it's really cool. And I think Braylon brings a unique, different game than Breece Hall. So I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. And I think he's going to do – dude, he's 20 years old. He can play 20 years.
Exactly.
And still not be old in the league. Like, it's nuts. Everything about that is bananas, but it's really great. It's really great.
Well, let's get into it here. Enough about your former backfield mate. Let's talk about you here. We want to know, first of all, how are you feeling? How's your recovery been?
Yeah.
And I know you've been, you know, I've seen and talked to people around practice said you look like you're pretty much back to 100% on the field, but how have you been feeling and how's the rehab been going?
Yeah, really good. I mean, the rehab process, I mean, for as ugly as the injury it looked, like it ironically wasn't that crazy of a rehab process. Like, I mean, obviously you have to get the ankle fixed, but like once you come out of that first two and a half months, like it's pretty much like smooth sailings. Not smooth sailings, but it's not a difficult rehab. It's really just like how you can tolerate and how you can come back. And so once I figured like it was just really kind of up to like how I wanted to do things, it was really easy. You know, Coach Fick early on wasn't sure what my spring ball was gonna look like, and I knew I would look good, so I figured they were going to let me go, and the more and more I did, the more and more comfortable with everyone just letting me just go and just kind of just turn into just me just practicing. So honestly, it's going really well. I feel good. I'm pretty much 100%. I would say 90, 95%. I would only not give myself 100% because I went into spring ball not like doing like individual and doing stuff like that, where in previous years I'd be kind of more fine-tuned going into spring ball. I kind of just like winged it. And so like that's kind of just where I'm at.
Just what, you know, like, dude, man, it going from last year, getting hurt, what was in your mind? Like, are you thinking about football ending? Is it something that's even on your journey? Or you're like, no way, I'm sticking to this. Like, I love it here. I want to be a Badger. I want to play football.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough. Like, when it first happened, I definitely had some crazy thoughts. Just, I mean, I think anyone would. It was tough. Football ending wasn't necessarily ever an option for me. I don't think that no one would let me, you know, even if I said some crazy things to like my dad or my friends or whatever. They know I just like sometimes when I'm mad, I'm mad, rightfully so. But everyone that's around me always keeps me grounded. But yeah, it wasn't an option. So yeah, being a Badger and staying a Badger and making sure my last year went the way I wanted to was kind of always the end goal.
What was the support like when you said you're coming back?
That was awesome. I mean, I no one really knew what I was doing because I had to make some decisions. I had to talk to people, you know, talk to the coaches and kind of just wait, you know, kind of let the season go on and kind of weigh out all my options. But the support was awesome, man. You know, the community, all the fans, you know, my teammates, you know, it was great.
Well, let's talk about some of those, you know, people you're around and have been supporting you. Obviously, you've had, you know, you started at Clemson, you came up to Wisconsin, have had a big coaching transition. You've had a couple different running backs coaches. Now you've been with Coach Spalding for a couple of years. What would you say has sort of been the biggest, you know, difference or biggest thing you've learned from being with Coach Spalding for the last year and a half or so, as opposed to like sort of what you had before?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Spalding, honestly, he's probably the best I've been around. Just in being able to bring the best out of you. He's brought the best out of me since the day he's been here. So being around him makes being a running back really easy and really fun. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate that he's my running back coach. I'm very blessed that he's here, you know, coaching me and the guys. But, like, the position itself, like, he gets it. Like, he's mastered it to the point where, like, he's teaching you and it's fun to learn from him. So I'm very thankful that he's here because he's elevated, I think, my game and everyone in the room's game.
I love to hear that. When Phil Longo was coming, right, coaching transition changes crazy. Phil's coming. What are you thinking? Like, you're this to me, you are like the perfect mold for this offense, right? So what are you thinking in your head when you see Phil Longo coming with the air raid? You know, you're a versatile back being able to catch, put you in different positions and run the football between the tackles. Like, that must have been awesome
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer when Coach Longo got named the offensive coordinator that I was obviously going to want to stay here and, you know, be productive in his offense. And, like, I've seen I played North Carolina 1 year, like, when he was over there. Like, I've seen it firsthand. So, I mean, it was honestly a no-brainer. So, it obviously worked out, you know.
I was going to say, so how do you feel like that transition has gone now that you've been a year in? Do you feel more comfortable now than you did last year? Like, what's been the sort of like the biggest change from that? Because I know, you know, getting everyone on the same page in a brand new offense, you know, was tough last year. And so like what's been sort of the biggest jump from year one to year two, at least in terms of spring ball?
I would say last year for me, the offense itself wasn't a huge jump because I was so used to that style of offense at Clemson. I think the huge jump that I took this year was mastering the actual terminology of the new offense. Like, it wasn't like the actual X and O's of the new offense. It was me like understanding the play calls and why someone's doing this and this play call and kind of like elevating my game in that way. That was my jump in this offense because I feel like last year the offense kind of meshed very well with my play style kind of up front before I even kind of knew it. And now I actually know pretty much everything about the offense. So now kind of just feels very, very natural.
Like you go out and just play fast.
Right. No thinking.
No thinking. Yeah. That's there's nothing better in football when you literally don't have to think and you can just do things because you have experienced it and you feel confident doing it.
Exactly.
So I got to ask this question because it's so different than, you know, 2000, when did I graduate? 05, right? So What's it like to be in a room that it could potentially change each year? And, you know, you're welcoming not only recruits in, which is normal, mm-hmm. but you could be welcoming transfers in. What's that like for a veteran like you who's been in the room for a while?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like interesting because I kind of started playing ball before the transfer portal and all that stuff kind of started happening. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a new world for me as well. But, I mean, it's kind of also not anything new. I mean, a transfer coming in is not – I wouldn't think it's like anything more than like a – I wouldn't say a freshman because they're obviously very different because they don't understand college. But, you know, you treat them the same as like it's a new brother coming in, you know. They're obviously here for a reason to help with something, some way, somehow. And you kind of just take them in, you know, embrace them as family.
That's so cool. So you and Jackson, I guess, and Yakimeli are pretty much like what, the elders in the room,
yeah,
so to say?
And Tawi. Tawi's older than me. So age-wise.
But he's
so,
new yeah. to the room. But he's new to the
he's
room.
New, he's new to the but room. Yeah, elder-wise, yeah, me, Jackson, and Yacker. Yeah, I guess, you know, pretty old, the old guys.
How do you guys like, you guys must be a tight circle. So has it been difficult to get the young guys and some of the transfers in, or is it just literally, it's just like, you guys are here and we're brothers right off the bat.
You play ball, you know, like you're here so much and you do so much with the guys that like, it's your brothers. Cause like you're here all day, so you have to, you have no choice. Like you're with these people all day, all day long. So you have to, like, you embrace them as family.
You go to the same classes, you yeah. might live together, like, yeah, literally 24/7. You're with people.
Exactly.
I love it. Have the three of you kind of taken leadership roles and said, hey, let's help these dudes so we can all get up to speed, cause we're all going to play in some way, shape or form?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, and also Coach Spalding just does such a good job of explaining everything. And like he in the meeting rooms, like he does a really good job of just making sure everyone understands like their assignments, their jobs. And he makes the running back position very, very easy. He simplifies it so everyone understands it.
So what would you describe Coach Spalding's style like in the meeting room? Right? Like, does he run like, is it intense meetings? Are they a little bit more loose? Is he funny? Is like, what's take us in the room with you when you guys are watching film, you having sort of, you know, before you go on the field?
Yeah. I mean, with Coach Spalding, it depends on the day, you know, but he's never going to like sugarcoat things. He's always going to give everything to you straight. And definitely before like a big scrimmage or like before games, he gives the best pregame speeches. You're definitely going to run. You want to run through a wall before a game. You know, he does a really good job of getting us going. But, you know, when it just comes to just watching film, I think that's where I learned the most from him. He just understands the game so well, like because he played the running back position as well. So like when he explains things, he explains it like he's in your seat, like he's been there. So like, he makes everything so easy. It's not like you're sitting there and you're just mad confused because everyone's been in like some type of seat some point in life learning something in the class and they're just sitting there so confused. He doesn't even let you be confused. If he sees that you're confused, he's going to make you not confused. So like being in the room with him is like, it's fun. You know, you learn. We play like we have like games, like we do formations that like whoever draws a formation the fastest, you know, gets points. Like we do different things like that to like make, you know, football fun.
And so you're in your second year and a half with Coach Longo. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask the same question, but with about Coach Longo and the offensive meeting room, because I would assume you sit as a whole group. And then also Coach Fickell, you know, they've been doing some crazy things at Wisconsin. You've been there for both iterations, I guess, but even like recruiting. So I would love to hear what's changed in the culture that you love. But first, let's go to the Longo Fickell question after a year and a half, 2 years with them.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Longo, he's just he like just oozes like offensive, like genius is when you speak to him, you know, he obviously is just an offensive guru. Like he understands how to put people in positions to, you know, be open, spaces field out, get people the ball in space. And, you know, he just does a really good job of getting playmakers the ball when it comes down to it. So, you know, when we have offensive meetings, he just does a really good job of just making sure the offense is like oiled and ready to go before, you know, practices and things like that. And I mean, everything you think of Coach Longo, like, it's legit. It's all, you know, he's drawing X's and O's and you're just like, I mean, yeah, he's a genius. Like, that's kind of how it goes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen a couple of cut-ups from him. He definitely has some creative ways to use words.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, I want to talk a little bit about Coach Fick here. Then I've got a million more questions. But Coach Fick, how is his energy different than what you guys had under Coach Chris and Coach Leonard? Like, obviously, like, you and Jimmy were freshmen together. You guys came in together. But in the, obviously, like, you know,
he was a Jet.
He was a Jet as well. But what's been sort of the biggest shift, I guess, in terms of like either like energy or thought process or something in the last sort of in the new regime?
Yeah. I mean, with Coach Fick, it's honestly, everything's just a sense of urgency. You know, it's a sense of urgency even with like the little things. It's, you know, how you walk up the steps. You're not allowed to take the elevator. You know, it's how you're walking onto the practice field. You know, all those things matter to him. And once you kind of understand that and grasp that, like, it just starts to become innate. Like, you don't do those things that, you know, will, especially as like a leader. You know, you know, if you're walking up the steps like mad slow, like, you just can't do that. You know what I mean? And it's little things like that that kind of go a long way and translate. So, I mean, just – and those are just, like, the small things. Obviously, the bigger things when it comes to, like, on-the-field stuff and just, like, the sense of urgency in the whole program when it comes to just – obviously, with, like, recruiting. And, you know, I think we've done a good job of, like, actually, like, going out and not just recruiting the Midwest. I think we're trying to, like, dabble in other areas, you know, the South, the West, like, doing things that, like – you know, I don't necessarily think we did an amazing job of it in the past.
We were just talking about we're spanning the entire country. Yeah. We are in New Mexico. Yeah. Like, we're all over the place.
Exactly.
Which I love that they have the chutzpah. I don't want to say, I don't know, I guess they got, I'll say it. Sorry, Carrie, my wife's mom. They got the balls to go into Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida and Texas and say, like, listen, dude, you guys have some of the best players and we're going to take them.
Exactly.
Like, I love that.
So speaking of those guys, though, you've had two new faces in your room right now. We talked about Tawi a little bit. You know, he's got a bunch of veteran experience. And then obviously Gideon is in there now as an early enrollee. Talk to us a little bit about both of those guys and sort of what they've brought to your room since January, since they got here.
Yeah, I think Tawi's came in and kind of put his head down and he's done an amazing job. I think he definitely adds, obviously, that experience to the room that besides me and Jackson and Cade a little bit having those games at the end of the season, he brings a ton of experience and kind of adds that bruising back factor that, you know, not that I'm saying I'm not a bruiser, but he really is a legit bruiser. Like, he'll run through somebody.
So well, that's because he brought quads to the room is what he brought.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he came in and kind of he's done a great job. And Gideon, ironically, is like, very similar to it. Okay, let's say in 3 years, Gideon should be Tawi. That's just how I look at how he can progress and be just like, they're similar in build, they're similar in height, like, they're similar in play style. And I think that is Gideon's like ceiling is, you know, kind of close to Tawi. I think they do similar things. So I think if he stays on the right path, you know, he's going to do great things here.
And sort of what advice have you given Tawi as a transfer into Wisconsin, right? Because you're the only transfer back in the room. Like, what's the advice that you've given him on how to adapt to living in Madison? Because let's face it, like, Norman, Oklahoma, it's not quite as cold as the winters in Madison.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I still having trouble adapting to the winters. Not going to lie to you. Like, it's tough. Like, I mean, I tell him, like, bro, like, it's just January and February and okay, March too. So after I told him, I was like, after we get through these 3-4 months, like, bro, Madison's like, it's legit. Like, it's a good time. And like, we're starting to see it now. Like, it's starting to get real nice out now. So like, now he's starting to like actually believe me. But in January and February, you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. So like, this time of the year is actually like, Madison's nice.
You burrow up in the McLean and don't ever leave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Chad, you mentioned spring ball. Listen, I know. I did not like spring ball. I actually hated it more than anything because there's no game at the end. So besides beating up on, like, your own guys.
Yeah.
But it is important, right? I totally get it. What have you seen from the offense that's maybe a jump in the right direction from last year to this year. And what are you excited about, you know, being part of it?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a jump with when I spoke about myself and me saying less thinking. I think that goes with, you know, the whole group. You know, I think a lot of people are playing a lot smoother. A lot of people are like not thinking as much. You know, it's we're not the signals aren't new. Things aren't new. And I think last year, you know, when you have new things, you know, it's different. You know, sometimes when things are different, you know, it takes some adjusting to get to. And I don't think there's a lot of adjusting right now. A lot of people are just playing football. And I think that's one of the main things that's like during spring ball right now. A lot of people are playing football fast. And I think, you know, it's kind of noticeable. You know, I think our offensive line is one of the areas I think we're more improved. I think that, you know, I think we have a good group right now that's kind of leading the charge. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're all excited about the offense, especially in year two, as you guys all as a group, like really sort of like get up and go and are able to, like, you know, really take advantage of the work that you guys have been putting in there.
Jez, you mentioned the O-line. I've seen clips. They preach violence and you've seen it and they're throwing dudes around. Is that what, you know, that's a clip on social media. I take that as that's what been a focus for the O-line is to be get kind of get back 20 years to like the nitty gritty lunchbox dudes.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with Coach Bloss. Yeah. I think Coach Bloss has kind of came in here and he set the tone, man. I think the O-line kind of is an oil machine right now. You know, they starts with their coach. I think he comes in and brings the energy that they have to match. And I think they've done a really good job. And I think that's kind of, that's where all offenses start, you know, in the trenches. And I think if you got those guys going, you know, the direction is always going to be forward. So I'm excited.
Well, you're going up against a bunch of, especially as a running back, a bunch of linebackers and a lot of new faces in the linebacker room. Who's been standing out to you as guys are like, oh crap, like I'm glad I'm not on another team. I would not want to get hit by him.
Yeah. I mean, all those guys that we brought in are they're going to be good players for us. But I mean, besides Jake Chaney, because Jake Chaney's always been a playmaker here. But I would say Jaheim, I think he's going to be a hell of a player for us, to be honest with you guys, man. He's a good football player. He understands football. He's always for being how big he is, he's always in the right place at the right time. From what I noticed, like he's just a football player, you know, when it comes down to it. So I'm excited for him.
So, Jen, I got to ask, like, what are you personally excited about for your final season?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I mean, I have a ton of personal goals and I have this and have that. But I mean, honestly, it's just like, you know, just being where my feet are and just enjoying each game at a time and just, you know, winning. That's the most important thing to me this year, you know, winning. And whatever I have to do to make sure we win, you know, that's all I really care about. If I have to carry the ball 30 times a game, I have to, you know, pass protect to 25 times and catch the ball 10 times and only get 5 carries. Like, it doesn't really matter to me, but the most important thing to me is winning. You know, I just want to make sure when the season's over, in the 12-team playoff format comes out, I want to make sure that Wisconsin is in it and I had something to do with it.
What's your biggest goal off the field this year?
Off the field?
Yeah.
Just continue to improve with my leadership and, you know, make sure that I am the leader that I want to be, because I think I have to continue to grow in that area, because it's not something that, you know, not that I'm not used to it, but being a vocal leader and being at the point where I'm at now, it's definitely some adjustment, because I've always been like a lead by an example guy. But, you know, my next step is also becoming that vocal leader that I think the team needs.
How hard is that for you to do?
It's not difficult, because, I mean, when you already can lead by example, then being the vocal leader is easy, because it's not fake. You know, it's not something that you have to, like, practice or, you know, be timid about. Then becomes natural, because everyone already understands, you know, like, he's already doing it. So, you know, we all got to just listen.
So Matt Perkins, I know we love getting people out on like these great,
I got some rapid fires. Don't worry.
Rapid fired Wisconsin questions. I just want to say before we do that, Chaz, man, I am pumped, dude. I know I talked to all these old guys who are just thrilled that you're back. We love, you know, your game, I think, in this offense, I mentioned before, but like, dude, it's special. And you're joining a room that has a lot of culture and a lot of history. I know, dude, when you came over, I was excited from Clemson. And I was like, man, this is like exactly what the Badgers need. So sorry to fanboy you a little bit, but like, I can't help it, man. I you wear the Motion W and then you watch guys play now. And it's just so nice when you have dudes who are like you, who are everything about Wisconsin. You know, I think not a big head, like you want to be the leader. You're trying to win. Everything you said to me just makes me so happy to hear that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, as Bernie said, I will throw a couple rapid fires out at you before we get out of here. So first one, go pretty basic. 40-yard dash, everyone on the team's lining up. Who's finishing first? Who's got the fastest 40 on the team right now?
It has to be Treacher, Will Pauling. Got to be one of those two. Quincy's in there, but I think Quincy wins after the 40.
But if it's 100, Quincy's going
to
win?
I think Quincy wins the 100. But 40, I got to give it to Will or Treach.
Biggest freak in the weight room, like pound for pound strongest guy?
This year, probably Jake Chaney. I mean, I don't even know how he lifts some of the things he lifts. So
Jake at Squat Fest last year was one of the guys. I was just like, Jake
would do something that don't even make sense. So I would say probably Jake, honestly.
Which guy is giving the pregame rah-rah speech? Who is going to get in there and get you guys the most amped up?
Oh, man. Player?
Yeah. Or coach. It can be a coach, too.
Coach is Coach Spaulding. No, hands down. He hasn't yet given the whole team a speech, but if he did, it would get nuts. I think like he would, yeah, because the way he talks to the running backs, I'm telling you, like the whole team would get goosebumps. So I would say Coach Spaulding as a coach. As a player, I'm not too sure. You know, I'll say maybe Hunter. Maybe myself. I don't know. I haven't yet given the, you know, pregame speech. You know, that's not really something that I've done yet. You know what I mean? I've always been that guy just like, I'm in the back, like, listening to music, like, trying not to kill someone.
Yeah.
That was my next question. What's in your headphones pregame?
Pregame, it depends what type of mood I'm in, but it's probably going to be like a Future or a Young Boy. Or, probably one of those two. That and a mix of those two.
Friday night in the off season, you're going out to dinner. What's your top choice of places to go to in Madison?
Naples 15.
Naples 15. A lot of guys like Naples 15. What are you ordering?
Sal don't let me order. He just throws things out. He just throws things at me. I've been there about four or five times now, and I have yet to actually order anything off the menu.
It must be nice. Yeah. It's kind of nice. Oh man, that's so cool. Yo,
and last thing I ask you, what's your favorite class you're taking this semester?
I'm in grad school now, so it's not anything crazy. So I mean, I'm in these leadership classes, and they're pretty smooth. So I'm learning a bunch about just like coaching styles and stuff like that. I have this one class where like Phil Jackson like is like on a Zoom like teaching about like a coaching style. So like probably that class, you know, just getting to hear from a great coach like that, you know, just learning some of his point of views on stuff. It was pretty cool.
Not bad. You go from Phil Jackson class in the morning to Coach Fick in the afternoon. And yeah, exactly. Who knows in between? That's got to be a lot of fun. And then finally, what do you want to be remembered for at UW? If someone says Chez Malusi, you know, what do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, just being obviously the best version of myself. But when people just say my name, I just want people to remember just like when I stepped on the field, just like how every single time, you know, I just like I left it all out there every single time. Like, I don't think there's any circumstance where like you don't think that I was out there trying not to give it my all. You know, I would say I want to be the best running back to ever come through here. But I'm realistic, you know, like there's obviously some absolute like monuments that you would have to like pass up. So, you know, I think it's just being the best version of Chez. And I think that when you bring up Chez, you're going to say, like, sometimes he just did whatever it took. And that's kind of just what I want people to remember me as.
Dude, you're going to be good at those pregame speeches, man. Because that got me fired up, dude. I'm ready to be a parent of a number two now.
Yes, sir.
I just need to, I'll text you, Chez, and be like, yo, give me like a little bit real quick. Give me a little. I got to be the best Matt Bernstein I could be. I love it. Dude, Chez, listen, you speak extremely. I mean, like, you're going to be a good leader, dude. You're if you're not in, I'm not in the locker room, but from what you're saying, it's all the right things.
I mean that
people want to follow, dude. I'm just amped for this season and for you. I feel like the jump we're going to make this year is going to be huge, and I think you're going to be a huge part of that.
I think so too. I appreciate that, guys.
For sure. Well, I think that's a perfect place for us to end it here today on Believe in Badgers. Thank you for everyone to tuning in to Believe in Badgers on the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag and Oak Bridge Wealth Management. We appreciate all y'all taking the time to spend it here with us. We appreciate Chez taking time out of his busy schedule to spend it with us. Bernie, good luck. A pre-congratulations on number two. And
thank you.
Until next time, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.